body armor, and other bills...
Blog Talk Radio.
...guns to have micro-stamping technology to allow investigators to match bullets to firearms. Philadelphia's district attorney says his office will be issuing charges against two people connected to this past weekend's mass shooting that left 3 dead and 11 more injured.
No less chilling that it happened in more than 10 places around the country over the space of a few days. It is enough.
Larry Krasner said he visited the site of the shooting the morning after and described the scene as chilling. Krasner said gun violence in the U.S. has come to a point where lawmakers must act. He called for voters to vote out politicians who have connections to the NRA, saying they have made the U.S. the most heavily armed society in the world just to line their pockets. Gas prices keep soaring. AAA finds the national average price for regular is up to $4.86 a gallon, 60 cents per gallon higher than it was a month ago. The price is over $5 a gallon in 9 states and the District of Columbia, including California, where the statewide average is now $6.34 a gallon. First Lady Jill Biden is unveiling a new U.S. Postal Service stamp honoring former First Lady Nancy Reagan.
With this stamp, we are affirming that she made such a difference.
During a White House ceremony, Dr. Biden said Mrs. Reagan served the American people with grace during President Ronald Reagan's 8 years in office. The commemorative forever stamp is based on a portrait of Mrs. Reagan. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
It usually takes 40 years for breakthroughs in natural health to finally make their way into standard medicine. Be way ahead of the curve by listening to the cutting-edge experts who are my guests on the Healthy by Nature show. I'm certified clinical nutritionist Marty Whittakin. We want you to stay healthy and feel your best doing it.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com. And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers earlier this morning and during the first part of your commute. It'll taper off to partly sunny skies and sun breaks later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 65 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures back down to about 50. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies with increasing clouds by Tuesday afternoon. High temperatures warmer around 72, 73. However, chance of showers moving in for Tuesday night, lows back down to about 56. Wednesday, the continued showers from Tuesday night will hang around for most of the morning, making way, though, to partly sunny skies yet again for Wednesday. Highs around 69.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And we want to say again to everybody, happy Pride Month as
yes.
We're kicking it in. Right. Martinez like kicking it in. And we're just like, yeah. And we are planning to mention this every day to all of you. It is a very important time.
Hey, everybody,
time.
Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on.
And
we
want
to say again
what
to everybody, happy Pride
right there.
Month.
That's me. I'm talking to myself. Isn't that a song, Benny? Is that like, is that Billy Idol?
No.
Is that, no, that's not talking to myself. Billy Idol is dancing with myself.
That's it.
Dancing with myself. Okay, I have to give a shout out. First, let me introduce you to Martinet because this is really, this is so perfect for this today. How to Love Our Bodies and Tune Into Our Inner Wisdom. My very special guest, Martinet Emmons, the host of a fabulous, fabulous show. You're going to hear about that. Transformation with Martinet. Of course, that's what it is. You know, when I think about people that are buried in a life of obstacles and trauma, but yet rise up. We did 2 shows on this last week about rising up. I think about her. But I have to give a shout out to something, a little pop culture-y, Martinet. Do you mind if I do that?
No, go.
Okay, so I have been a fan. I can't remember how long. Benny, how long? of the MTV Movie Awards since their inception. I don't even know what year that was. It's got to be like, I don't know, like I was such a fan of music videos when they popped out because I'm a visual. And, you know, it was the next perfect evolution to really putting ideas and music together. Now, the cinema had always done that. I mean, it was very difficult to ever listen to a James Bond theme without seeing, like, the whole video of him, right? But then comes MTV. And last night, I thought everybody was cringing because MTV is usually over the top. But it was a really good award show in a lot of ways. I thought honoring J-Lo was so important and her honoring her manager. And what I was struck by, Martinet, in that show last night, and I was surprised I watched it all, because usually at some point there's something crazy that happens that I'm like, okay, I got to go. But last night it was amazing to watch. And it was amazing to watch what is on the minds of our pop culture in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
And what was fascinating was to watch what shows they honored. Of course, my fave, my girl, won for the hero show, Scarlett Johansson, yes, and Black Widow. But the nail biter was the end. Now, you had to know a little bit as the show went on, and because this is about bodies.
Mm-hmm.
There is a show on television that it's not for everybody. But for those of us that grew up with addiction, grew up with not understanding our bodies and our identity, mm-hmm. you know, grew up not feeling great about myself, and my sister for sure, I've shared she died on a hospital floor at about 450 pounds, I think it was more. And that's why today's show is so important. The other thing that's so important about today is that this conversation fits in to the community of people, the LGBTQ plus community of people. And I got to give a shout out to our transgender brother and sisters. And yes, let me just say, Elliot Page, thank you. And thank you for Umbrella Academy for bringing him back. There is more in our pop culture that's more opening than what's happening right now in the world. And when you have the conflict of feeling great on the inside and what society will tell you on the outside, that's where the pain points are, Martinet, right? That's what we're talking about today. But the show that topped the charts last night, and I made a bet. I won $100 on this, Benny. Just say it. In the end, they saved the big award for the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of great TV shows that were on. I was so impressed by the quality. But I would have been shocked if Euphoria didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been stunned because here is a show that many people that are, I'd say, 40 and over don't know about and don't watch. And here's what I want to say about it. If you are a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a grandmother, this is a show to understand the underpinnings of what our younger generation is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And this show covers everything from addiction to love, to loving, you know, same-sex partners, to transgender issues, to hating your body so much that you're willing to sell it. It pretty much does it with superb acting. And, of course, yes, you take a look at the cast that won. You take a look at Zendaya. You take a look at the people that show up for this, one of the hardest television shows for young people to actually act. And it points to what you're talking about today. Because we're living in a world right now where we're judging ourselves, Martinet, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're on social media just judging, just being the judging, right?
Yeah.
We're criticizing ourselves because we don't fit into that vintage show that has a six-inch shoe that has a six-inch heel. And I want to ask you this question. This has got to be a topic that has hit your heart so sharply that you have become a warrior champion for this. Thank you for taking it on and tell us about where this is in your heart. Thank you for joining me today. I know it was a long introduction, but there's so much now out there about this. And when you start to see our pop culture rise up and award people for taking on the hard issues
mm-hmm.
around body and identity, do you think we're making progress there?
I
don't know what to say about that.
Oh, gosh. I hope that big change is coming because,
It's been a lifelong issue for me, and thank you for mentioning all this, like euphoria and all that. I've actually never seen it, but I've heard about it, and it's going to be, I'm going to start watching that, especially if it has so much to do with, you know, just the way you've been talking about image and all that. And, you know, it calls to mind, and I've said this many times on my show, I have some friends who have a business called Don't Let the Selfies Fool You, because what people are putting out there is a lot of the times, much of the times, most of the time, not really what's going on. I have had like a love-hate relationship with myself my whole life. I had an eating disorder from 11 to about, well, not long ago. It wasn't even in the past year. I may not be doing what I did, binging, purging, you know, that kind of thing, but such a fear of food, fear of what it's going to do to me. My dad used to tell me that I was too fat, and I was really at the time 124 pounds. You're too fat, and no man's ever going to want you.
Oh, my God. My sister went through the same thing, and she was drop-dead gorgeous.
I bet she was.
I mean, don't you want to cry?
Yes. Yes. When I think about even just my young self and taking that in, you know, and how that spurred on a lifelong fear, and one that I've worked a lot on myself, but I was so ashamed I brought that to my kids. I did. I brought it into their lives. I was worried that they'd be too fat. I was worried that, you know, that they would hate themselves. I was worried that people would pick on them like I was picked on. And things have changed a lot since we were growing up, yet it's almost worse in some ways because of social media, because of all the stuff that's out there, and this bullying that happens not only in the school, but cyberspace too, you know?
It is by far. There are three things I've looked at recently. One, the whole landscape and future of my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow what the audience wants, our listeners. When I get emails from our listener, or I get a snail mail or a call, we get calls or comments.
Yeah.
And they say to me, when are you going to do the Power Up show again? And I realize that I don't have a good reason for not doing it. Mm-hmm. I can come up with them. But we come up with the same reasons for not acknowledging our bodies,
mm-hmm.
but the same reason we feel compelled to criticize other people. I can only, look, you and I come from kind of the same place. If you grow up, now I grew up in a family where both of the female, my mom who died, my stepmom, she would have none of that. But my dad was always critical of my sister. And it was so painful for me to watch. She tried her entire life to please him, and it was never going to happen. He was not that guy. And I'm so glad I'm more like my mom.
Yeah.
I don't even look like my dad. Yay. No, my dad was stunningly handsome. I mean, honestly, he married my stepmom when she was like, he was like 20-something, and my sister was a little bit older and a little bit younger. But the point is, he thought this was funny. He thought teasing my sister Joyce about never looking enough. Now, can you imagine being my stepsister Joyce and Doris, both beautiful blondes? My stepmom was drop-dead gorgeous, as I said, but beyond that, she was a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce, beautiful, curly, blondish hair. Crisp green eyes,
mm-hmm.
the gorgeous mole, the what's-her-face Crawford mole.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on the inside, she was darling,
mm-hmm.
to the day she died from cancer,
mm-hmm.
from cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Thought, was there anything I could have done more to help? Should I have stayed closer to the family? But can we talk about the pain and trauma that comes from that? And we're here today to give people solutions as well, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of pain of not being able to please, like your sister and her father, your father. I think I started to heal a bit more with my dad for the fact now that he only has the capacity to give what he can give. And it may have been the same with your dad. He only had the capacity to give a certain amount to her, to you. My dad was unwanted. He was told that he was the biggest mistake that his father ever made. He was told that I married your mother because I didn't think she could have kids. So in retrospect, as I get older, I kind of see some of the reasons why he treated me the way he did. He didn't have anything better to offer. And my dad is alive today still. He's 86 years old. He'll probably outlive me. But sometimes it's like I still find myself that little girl, like, wanting to please him. And if I go to visit him, it's like I go to my closet and like, what? And this is crazy, but I would go to my closet and find out what is the thing that makes me look the thinnest. And I'm not really an overweight person, but I still have that image like, okay, if I look really good, he'll be more happy with me. And then it's like, you know what? You just be you. You are fine yourself. And he has the capacity to give what only he can give. Like he sent me flowers for Mother's Day out of the blue. That's something he can offer. You know, so I take what he can give me, and then I give myself what I need.
Yeah. What did you find when you, let me ask this question, because today we're talking about this moving to a place of gratitude for the beauty of this vessel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The vessel that houses our soul. I think that's what you call it. I love that phrase, Martinea. Mm-hmm. I love it. And for those of you just tuning in, Martinea Emmons is my beautiful, beautiful guest. But I want to tell you, her show, Transformation with Martinea, it rocks beyond. And I want to make sure that you all have that information. Can we take a moment and get everybody to your website? Let's do that because I'm going to skip the break. So let's get everybody over there if you could.
Oh, to www.martineaemmons.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
You can find my podcast on there and all kinds of good information. I'm a transformational life coach and teaching NLP since 2014, and I love every minute of it.
Don't you love NLP? Well, why don't you and I do a show on NLP and really tell people what it is? Okay, let's you and I we'll get Linda involved in that. But today we're going to talk about the body because here we are. Here's the question. What was the tipping point for you? Because this is interesting for me. I had an epiphany about when I appreciated and loved my body. And then here recently, I fell out of love. Like an Air Supply song. But when did it hit you? When did it shift for you? Can you remember that? Was there a moment where you're like, I am done not liking my body and who I am? What happened?
You know, Dr. Pat, I've had a few different times, honestly. It's
cool.
Like I want to say I was about 24 years old when I realized, you know what? If I keep purging, something's going to happen here, or I'm not going to be able to have kids. It's like something came in, like God was talking to me, the universe was talking to me, however we want to look at it, God or universe, however anybody believes, was talking to me like, you know what? This has to stop. Now, it didn't mean that the self-loathing stopped or any of that, not so much. I've done much more healing since then. But then when I had my first baby, I'm like, oh my gosh, my body made this baby. That was another layer. Like, you know what? This body takes good care of you. And then when I got cancer in 2014, it's like, whoa, okay. Can't believe this is happening. This is out of my parents' three kids, I'm the third one to get cancer. Different types. I had colon cancer. And that was another thing. When I got the healing diagnosis in 2015, and I have had no problems since then, wow, my body rocks. This is pretty amazing. My body looks after me. And what I was talking to you about right now, something else is happening to me now, which my dermatologist, we had come up with one diagnosis, and then when the treatment didn't work, it turns out, and I will get a firm diagnosis next week when I see a specialist, but I have vitiligo. And to me, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know if the audience, if you don't know what it is, I am still learning what it is. It's an autoimmune condition. It's where your body doesn't produce enough melanin, and you start to get almost these patches on your body. And I was really scared to come on and talk about this, but I know it needs to because it's becoming more and more. And this set me back big time. This has been going on for about a year, and we thought other things were going on. But now that it looks like this might be it, I was just like, okay, what else is going to happen to me? I'm just being honest here. I'm just being real. What else is going to happen to me here? Come on, body, what is going on? Why do I have this now too? And then I thought, you know what? She's telling me something's wrong. I got to listen. So now I don't like it.
Mm.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And I have compassion for me. She's talking to me. I got to listen. Oh, I got to listen. She's been telling me for a while, and I guess she had to get me by my vanity that she needs some support.
See, I love that you're sharing this. You know, I have to tell you, I really give credit to this audience. This is the best audience. This is a 20-year mm-hmm. audience.
Yeah.
And I have to give credit to them. And mm-hmm. not only this audience that started with me 20 years ago, but the audience that's built. All of you, I don't even know where you're emailing us from, but we're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I love about what you shared. I didn't learn this till later on. Benny will tell you. I used to come into the studio right there at the studio and where Benny is.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come in every day and I was in pain. But I grew up with this notion of just suck it up. You don't have to tell people. People don't want to hear you complaining. But it changed the direction of my life. You know, how is your healing journey and what you're discovering about renewed love for yourself and your body, how does that help shape you, Martinet? And the reason I'm asking the question is because the way it shaped me was so that it changed the entire trajectory of the show. You know, the show went from, the show's always going to be fun, but it went to really address what people are going through in body, mind, mm-hmm. spirit, soul.
Yeah.
And I was a student. I knew nothing about this, and I had a mystery disease. And the only way I got help was the angel lady told me to look up T3, and I happened to find Dr. Nusheen Darvish. Hello, everybody. DrDarvish.com. Right here, if you live in this area, this is the woman that saved my life, along with another conventional doctor, Dr. Overman, kicking and screaming at each other, but they did it, along with a whole lot of other people. But for you, can you find purpose in this journey?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took me 10 years for me to open my mouth and tell the audience what I was going through. But I think after a while, when they heard me talk about chronic Lyme disease and a whole bunch of other chronic stuff, I think they figured it out. Smart audience. But how about you? Are you shape-shifting?
Yes. For those of you that don't know, my show has been called, Conquer Everything, Compromise Nothing. So now we're at a whole new level here. It's like I want everybody to know that no matter what, man, you can get through with it. I'm proof. You're proof. I just wrote a post about it today that actually I haven't put it out there yet. But if we go over the evidence of our lives, right, like – I remember just a silly little story, and this isn't a health thing, but I wanted this, I was about 26, 27. So yeah, about 27 years old. I wanted this sports car so bad, right? I made enough money for it. I made enough money to qualify for financing for it, all of that. But no matter what I did, I could not get the sports car. My gosh, dang it. Okay. I'm disappointed. A week later, I found out I was pregnant. A two-seater car would not have been the thing to have. So I got a more family-type car, still a bit sporty, but four-seater, that held my husband, that held our, that was going to hold our new baby girl. So it's not a health thing, but it's evidence that good things can happen. It's evidence that things are being worked out for you, right? I have evidence of making it through cancer. I have evidence of falling on black ice and shattering my whole arm here, surgery and a long recovery time. I have no trouble moving any parts of me and I have no pain. I know that what's going on with me now, I against all odds, I believe I'm going to beat it. I see myself beating it. I want everybody to know you can. If you just look over the trajectory of your life, all the things that you have overcome already, all the things that you've already accomplished already, you can beat it. You can conquer it. You can overcome it. You can have a successful business. You can have whatever you want. And what I like to say is, or better.
Yeah.
God or the universe will give you something better if you don't get what you actually want, because you can. You just have to see it yourself in there. You have to see yourself healing. You have to see yourself being successful in business. You have to see yourself living on the ocean like I'm always picturing myself. You have to see yourself healing and in doing this, in thinking those good thoughts, it also just like, it gives you this love and appreciation for your own beautiful vessel.
Yeah.
And what it's brought you through in this whole life, through all your overcomings and through all your successes. She or he is right there with you.
Yeah.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. Oh, of course it did. And, you know, it takes me to the next view about it. I want to take a short break. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come back, you know, we're talking for everybody out there. Look, if you want some help with this right now, please feel free to give us a call. 1-800-930-2819. You know, gratitude for this beautiful vessel we call our bodies. And, you know, what's fascinating about it is we tend to leave this sort of to the last. But how do we learn to use that inner wisdom to tap in to what is my body trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. What is my body saying to me? You know, what is it about this that I can learn? And when we come back, Martine is going to share, you know, her inspired hope, what she does in working with others so that they can feel that there is hope. There's nothing more painful for those of us that have been there, Martine, right, mm-hmm. than feeling hopeless and helpless. When we come back, mm-hmm. she's going to walk us through why you can, too, move away from that into hope and trust and transformation, because that's what she does. Transformation with Martine. When we come back, doesn't matter if you had an eating disorder or not. Maybe, like me, you know, you got two surgeries during COVID. You got put on a medication that you didn't understand the side effect. Yeah. And all of a sudden, your body just blocks everything. Let's take a short break. When we come back, how do we go from where you are and eliminate the roller coaster ride and step into the full embodiment of that beautiful, beautiful vessel you have? Martine is going to walk us through there, everybody. Let's take a short break, Benny. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
In body, in power, in soul. activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, A Humble Awakening of the Heart, join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belt, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelt.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Everybody, welcome back. We're taking your calls. How do you feel about your body? Anybody out there want a little support today? We're talking about how to love our bodies and tune into our inner wisdom. And our bodies are one inner wisdom mechanism, if I should say. Martine, before we keep rolling here, and thank you so much for sharing. You know,
absolutely.
It's so amazing we get to tell the truth on shows like this so that our audience knows we're just like them.
Yep.
And they're just like us. But how do people find out more about you? How do they work with you? Tell us a little bit about the coaching that you do, if you could.
Sure. I work with mostly women, but some men as well. And I work mainly with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. That's how I was trained. But I am basically a life coach internationally, which is kind of fun. I work with people all over the world, which I'm so excited about. We work with everything from body image to overcoming just about anything, from child abuse to child abuse, sexual abuse, anything adverse. And some people consider trauma could be something from your kids going off to school to a really major event. And I work with people that have, maybe they've been to therapy, they've overcome what has happened to them, and they are ready now to create a new life. Those are my people. Time to find something new, time to make a new story, time to write a new chapter. That's where I come in, and it's a wonderful blessing.
Yeah. You know, what I love about it is so pivotal right now because it does multiple things. And let's talk about some of the things that it does. First of all, we carry even though we may not talk about it or we may not shout out loud, we carry the burden of the shame we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the guilt. And, you know, we carry that around a lot of times, and especially women, I believe, carries it around, and so we carry it around in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're thinking that our silence is calming us down. And yet, isn't our silence, what I mean by silence, not looking at it and facing it. That's mm-hmm. one of the hardest things to do, is look and face and find out, what are we saying to ourselves? What are we doing? But talk about, you know, how important that is, because you had to face yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
And as scary as those moments are, what was that like when you were facing yourself? I had to face myself and mm-hmm. say, girlfriend, you cannot take another drink for the rest of your life. I had to face myself.
Mm-hmm.
But how was it like for you?
You know, there's a couple things, and gosh, one of them just slipped my mind. Dang it.
It happens to me all the time.
Okay.
Oh, man. Jeez, you should have seen me trying to keep score playing ping pong on Saturday. You know, people were like, what's the matter with you?
Oh, that's funny.
Why are you not remembering the score? You're not winning, Pat. Don't cheat.
Oh, gosh. You know, there are things going on in our heads all the time.
I know.
It's so hard, you know, and it only what stays in there is, I guess, is what's meant to stay in there, right?
Yes.
So I think the biggest thing is for us to kind of sit in it, as uncomfortable as it is to sit in the stuff that comes in. And that is working with our bodies, right? What messages are coming in? And for me, this sounds really, really weird. I always used to get like this pringly-like kind of feeling, prickly-like kind of feeling on my hips. And my hips is what I always thought was my downfall. And I started to pay attention one day, like instead of just like brushing that off or whatever it was, like, what is she trying to tell me? What is going on right here? She's got a message right here. And that was something that I really started tuning into that. And then when I started listening to what she was saying to me, my body, tapping in and finding out, like, you know, there's still some unresolved stuff there. I was sexually abused as a kid. Well, hips. And what's also really poignant, I guess is the right word, is that where the vitiligo shows up on me the most is my hips.
Mm.
And that was another thing, like, this is an area that needs to be resolved. And I think I've completely gone off track.
No, it isn't. This is exactly right, because the bottom line is, you know, there are these moments that we get that inner wisdom that starts to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You see, what you're talking about is talk to me. And at this point in time, I paid attention. It doesn't mean we're always going to pay attention, because sometimes things are just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're just too hard to face, right?
Well, we're not ready.
We're not ready.
Because you know what? Something that I just dawned on me, something the dermatologist told me, and it is 7 years that I'm free from cancer this year. But one of the things she says is that they don't know what causes vitiligo. I mean, they know why it's happening, the melanin and all that, but why it actually happens. They say stress, because they don't know what else to say. But she says, you know what, in your case, maybe it's chemo coming out. And it's showing up in this way.
Wow.
And I was just thinking, you know, because I've been paying attention to my body over the last several years now, listening to what she's saying, not pushing all the stuff aside, maybe now she, my body, my vessel, is comfortable to let this out.
Mm.
Sounds strange, but that's what I'm thinking. Maybe that this is my body releasing the rest of that journey. And making me pay attention to the stuff that has happened to me and releasing the rest of it.
Yeah. You know, and I love that, because part of what we're talking about today is, look, let's talk about a process.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beginning, there's the journey, and there's a perceived end. Even mm-hmm. if it's cyclical, even if you're like, I'm end, but you're end with this part of it. You go through what you need to go through to handle what is right indicated in front of you. And at the time, it was, I've got to I got to get this cancer under control, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we don't have to come back, because I had to do the same thing. We don't have to come back and now say, wow, was the treatment, you know, worse than the illness? And a lot of times it may feel like that, but there's always a solution, right? Especially if you live in the world of holistic.
Yeah.
And maybe you're right. What does that look like for you now that you've had that awakening to say, wow, maybe it was the chemo?
It's making me realize, one, thinking about my mom, she had gotten shingles a lot later in life, and she thinks that was because she was kind of getting more comfortable with herself at that point. So that was something that needed to come out. And maybe now it's the same thing. I really like me now, which I never in a million years thought I would say that.
All right.
And I do. I like my body. I'm proud of the one I have. I'm proud of what she's carried me through all this time. So maybe now this is like the final, right, release, you know? Let's get rid of the rest of this crap, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that means to me is that, you know what, I can appreciate me now. And everybody out there, you can. You can love yourself. And one of the things you can do is you look at yourself in the mirror every day and tell her, him, yeah, you did a good job today. I am so proud of you today for doing the things you did, maybe you didn't quite want to do. I'm so proud of you for taking care of the kids today. I'm so proud of you for going to your work and giving it your all. I'm so proud of you for, even if all you did today was to get up, right?
Yeah.
Every day telling yourself you're proud. It starts to shift.
And let's talk about the shift for a minute, because when we're talking about the shift, what we really are talking about is transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get to that for a minute, because as we think about transformation, and this is what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's talk about what it feels like to go from the moment that you know you're in a reboot, you had a realization, you're taking action and doing something about it, right?
Yeah.
Your body is telling you there's something wrong. But yet, here we are. And you're sharing this in hopes that this will help somebody else, right?
Absolutely.
And it is scary. When you and I talk about this, you know, talking about our personal lives, right, talking about these things that happen, it is a bit scary. But we have a reason for doing it. Because right now, 2.5 years of what folks have just gone through,
right,
their bodies are screaming to them, don't you think?
In so many different ways. Gosh, screaming for connection too, right? Connection, closeness with people, even hugs, you know?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yes. Our kids have suffered so much from this. Oh, everybody has. But
oh,
our
yeah.
kids have suffered so much from this. Yeah. Transformation. And paying attention to those little voices inside of mm-hmm. us and honoring those voices and our soul's cries mm-hmm. when it needs something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the big thing, let's talk about this because I don't want to leave this out. You know, when my sister was battling what she was battling, it was mm-hmm. hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the influence about her battle came from our close family and relatives
mm-hmm.
that made her feel less than. Now I will tell you, when my sister passed away very unexpectedly, and again, on a hospital floor, the people that came to her services, there were so many people that loved my sister beyond whatever I could even comprehend about her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a small chapel church. There were blocks and blocks and blocks of people that waited to pay, to honor her.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this. So that was that situation. Now we have changed. Time has changed. Technology
mm-hmm.
has changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more emphasis about how we should look. Talk a little bit about what society has done, right, since perhaps my sister or you growing up
mm-hmm.
to where we are now. I mean, honestly, somebody asked me this morning, was there anything about the MTV awards that annoyed you? And I said, absolutely. I don't know why Ms. Hudgens had to change her outfit every time.
Mm-hmm.
She's a beautiful young woman.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the oddest thing for me, and it was obviously odd, right? And yet that presents a message to our young people. Her fantastic opening, right? And she made a thing about it, like she couldn't find the right outfit. So what is the message of that? If you're her, I think Vanessa Hudge, if you're her and you're hosting this award show and it takes you an entire show to find the right outfit to wear the entire skit for her for the entire award ceremony was her changing outfits because she couldn't find one that worked. And I'm thinking, hello, isn't that what we're facing here today with people? I mean, she didn't need it, and yet that became it. Isn't this the new wave of shame opportunities we have for people?
To me, that, like, I didn't see it, but to me, that feels so, it's sad. It's insecure. You can't find the right outfit to wear. What about just you? I mean, that's a beautiful woman right there.
She is.
A gorgeous woman. And she was so insecure about finding the right outfit. What about just herself and her abilities? That is very sad to me. And I know that's the way our society is. You know, I will say some, even talking to Jacob, one of our producers here, I think there is a shift in some of the ages. Like my daughters are 21 and 23. They've always been a little bit more open and a little more self-assured than I was at that age, a little more confident. Yet, we didn't have everything, my age group anyway, we did not have everything on social media. We didn't have to worry about our stories being blasted. Maybe for being in a small town, everybody talked, but it wasn't blasted all over the place. But Vanessa Hudgens has to worry about, well, what is everybody saying on social media? What is everybody saying out in her family, in her world, in the people that are watching her? It's a scary place to be. It feels very scary and very sad to me that she has to put on this persona.
And, you know, you don't know which part of it's her and which part of it is the sizzle, you know, that that the producers of the show. But the point is this, right? Can I ask you the silliest question of them all? Maybe Benny knows the answer to this. Out of all of the TV award, and I love TV award shows. I've loved them since I was a kid. My stepmom loved it. She loved all that.
Yeah.
I tried to think, if this was a man, like whether this was, what's his name, Ice Cube or I don't know, somebody else, like doing the awards, would he have changed that many times?
Probably depends on the guy.
It probably does,
men,
right?
Yeah, it would have, but not as many as the woman.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet, maybe, but still.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I was just struck by this. And because I prepped for today, it was in my mind, it was in my consciousness before I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, how do we help each other learn that we are enough? How do we do that, Martine?
Yes. I think the mirror work has a lot to do with it, and believing in ourselves, reviewing the evidence of our lives and what we've already done. You know, that one of the things my coach did with me, and this is a rare thing, but I guess it's what I needed. She had me look at the mirror because I was just like, I can't. I have nothing good to say about myself. And this was a while back. Quite a while back. We've been working together for a lot of years. She had me look in the mirror and say, and tell myself, look into my eyes and say, yeah, you are worthless. Yeah, you are, you're ugly, you're fat.
It's hard to do, isn't it? But is it painful?
It
is painful, that exercise. I've done that before.
Yeah, because I was looking into my own eyes and telling myself that, and then there was a shift, like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? This was done to me as a kid for sure. But what the heck am I continuing this on for? Right?
I know.
It's time to get out of the self-abuse room, Dr. Pat.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up because I also had a mentor do that to me. I got to tell you, by the time I was done, I was so furious at her, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah,
but isn't that why I don't, by the way, for those of you out there, we don't recommend you doing this exercise by yourself. Both of us have had expert people work with us on this.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get in front of the mirror and tell yourself why you don't like yourself. Stop that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But we had people we worked with that forced us to do that. And by the way, my mentor had me do that with money, too.
Really?
And the result in the end was always, I just would look at her and the fire would be coming out of my eyes and then I'd cry.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But then the revelation of that exercise with somebody that's safe, that's somebody that can mm-hmm. help me.
Oh, yes.
It was so very important. What would mm-hmm. you say, as we have, you know, a few minutes left, what would you say you've learned most from this journey and have yet to learn?
I think we're always going to be learning. We're human, you know?
And I do know.
We're infallible. We're imperfect. And the thing is, it's a journey. We're meant to keep learning. And sometimes I think the hardest part is like, you're looking at things like, oh my God, why am I here again? Why am I working on the same damn thing, right? Well, obviously it's not entirely resolved, but the thing is, as you go through it and you keep working through it, you get stronger each time. And then it's not so hard. You know, it's like, all right, I am here again, but what have I learned from last time? And you talk to yourself stronger again, you work on it, you get through it, you sit in the I apologize for that. I know my guests have said words they shouldn't have, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. On the internet, you can say it. But the point is, I get it, because mm-hmm. we do sit in it. And a lot of times we don't even know we're in it, do we? And that's really the hardest part. That's why, you know, one of the things you and I have talked about a lot is we both have our own coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We both have our own mentors. And
yeah.
For most of my life, I wouldn't ask anybody for help. Now I'm like running around asking, okay, I need help with this. Can you help me
mm-hmm.
with this? I need help with this. Can you help me with this? Because I am not seeing clearly, right? But that is so important, is we have to learn how to invest in ourselves enough. See, isn't that the pivotal point of acknowledgement in outside worldly things when we invest in ourselves enough to get help?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's nothing more valuable to me than a coach, a therapist, a mentor, somebody who's going to help get you through the rough times, because I don't care what anybody says. I don't believe anybody can do it alone. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, we are strong as humans. But we need somebody to walk alongside us and pinpoint the things that we may not be seeing, and have those people in our lives that we trust enough to let them tell us where those blind spots are
mm-hmm.
and ask the questions that we may not ask ourselves or even think of to find the answers that are within ourselves. As a coach, I can't give you the answers. I had a client recently, well, what do I do? I said, I can't tell you. But we can work on finding the answers inside of you, because what works for me doesn't necessarily going to mean it works for you.
Yeah,
I can
and
help
you know,
you find that answer.
My gosh, didn't you just say a mouthful? Because I know this to be true for myself. I can only share what my strength, experience, mm-hmm. and hope is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get something from what Martine and I are talking about, something that's going to allow you to just love yourself a bit more today, then we have met our goal for this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Martine, I know you bring on super guests and you talk about these things on your show. You really, you know, some people say peel back the onion. Honestly, we don't have time to peel back an onion. We need to take mm-hmm. that big butcher knife, cut that thing down, slice that dang onion right mm-hmm. down in half and look at the layers, right?
Right.
What are you most hopeful about
mm-hmm.
in this level of change for people?
I am hopeful in the fact that people are starting to come together. They're forming communities where there is love, where there is respect, where there is safety to talk, to share, to be vulnerable, to be raw, to be open. that is something that I love about your show, that I love about my show, because I encourage people to be as vulnerable as they can be in a safe space. I have been so blessed, not only with the guests I've had on my show, with the listeners I've had, with being a part of your community, with just hearing these stories of what people have been through and what they've overcome and how they've overcome it. That brings tremendous hope to me and just for our world.
Yeah.
If we start opening up and sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is really, for me, one of the most important parts of what we do and how we do it. And I can't thank you enough. If you could just, again, tell folks how they can find out more about you, but also give us a sneak peek of what you got planned for your show.
Oh, my next one? Ah, this is good. my next show is a guest, actually, that is coming on. He was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and they said he'd never walk. He's running a marathon. So that is to look forward to this Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, everyone. Yay! I'm looking forward to my show of more guests that inspire, that are raw and vulnerable, that give people hope and evidence. Because you can use other people's evidence. Even if you don't have a particular story of your own, you can borrow someone else's.
Oh, I've done that. I've had to do it.
Yes, yes. So you can find me at www.martineemmons.com, and I'm a coach. I have actually three openings right now if anybody is interested.
Wow, that's great.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited. And you can find me on Instagram, Transformation with Martine, Conquer Everything, Compromise Nothing.
I love it. Martine, thank you so much for today. Last question. I'd love to know what your personal message is. I would love to know what you'd like to leave everyone with, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I've got a few messages, I guess you could say, but, you know, there are gifts that we get wrapped in sandpaper, and they're not pretty, and they're not comfortable, and they're not easy to get through. But if you look at what it's teaching you, if you sit there in what you're going through and think of what you've garnered from what you're going through. I'm sorry, I have so many things running through my mind.
Yeah, I know.
I think about even my dad and the things that he said, did, and things that have happened to me. It's like I don't wish it on anybody. Would I really want to go through it again? No, but would I have what I have now? Probably not. Would I have the hope, the message, the vision to give people? No, I'm grateful for it. And if you can look at those messages that you've got and find those blessings in there, your life can change dramatically.
And
there's
really
hope, everyone, there's hope.
And by the way, not only is there hope, but there's hope and help. What's the best way for people to contact you?
You could go to, how about an email? Martine@martineemmons.com.
I love it. For those of you out there, we're going to do a number of shows like this. We're listening to what you all have said.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, we're providing you with help and solutions. This is probably one of the best ways to get it. If you listen to Martine's show, you will find that you can call into that as well. You can get a hold of her, connect with her on social media, and know that that has always been a primary purpose of ours from day one, 20 years ago. Martine, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Dr. Pat, for having me. I so appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Benny. And thank you mostly to all of you for allowing us to step into your lives and letting us know what things are most important for us.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We have a collision on Highway 3 southbound at milepost 39 1/3. near Austin Drive not too long ago. The on-ramp from Austin Drive is partially blocked for the vehicle recovery, and motorists are getting by on, this, on the right shoulder, so bring your patients along with you because of the collision on Highway 3 southbound at mile close 39 near Austin Drive. But that's all right. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the mysticism in ancient Sanskrit with Sarah Main. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Gas prices are hitting a new high. AAA fines the national average price for regular is up to $4.86 a gallon. That's a 25-cent a gallon bump over the past week. The U.S. Transportation Secretary has COVID. Pete Buttigieg tweeted he's experiencing mild symptoms. Buttigieg says he's isolating and working remotely, according to CDC guidelines. The 40-year-old Buttigieg is the first openly gay person confirmed as a presidential cabinet secretary. Pfizer is expanding in western Michigan to produce the oral COVID treatment known as Paxlovid. The plant will become the first in the U.S. to produce the oral medication. The drug's used to treat mild to moderate COVID-19 symptoms.
Welcome to the state where we dying over our skin, color, and race.
Rapper Benny the Butcher is helping the victims and survivors of the Buffalo grocery store mass shooting with a fundraiser. Fans can purchase a limited edition T-shirt with 100% of the funds going to the Buffalo Survivors Fund. Last month, 10 people were killed and 3 more injured after an 18-year-old shooter allegedly opened fire at Top Supermarket, which is suspected to have been a racially motivated attack. Buffalo native Benny said he regularly shops at that store, and it's only a couple of minutes from his home. The Butcher also released a new song titled Welcome to the States, which tackles the Buffalo shooting and other current events across the country. Authorities in South Carolina have gotten permission to exhume a body in the ongoing saga of a prominent South Carolina attorney. Scott Kimbler reports.
Sled will be exhuming the body of Gloria Satterfield, the former housekeeper of Alex Murdoch. Satterfield died in 2018 in what was considered an accidental fall in the Murdoch home. Satterfield's death was said to have been a fall, but Sled has reopened an investigation, citing there are discrepancies. A $500,000 settlement was reached with Murdoch and the Satterfield family. However, that money has never been paid. Meantime, Murdoch is facing a host of charges, including embezzlement, and has admitted in a court filing to not having paid the Satterfield family.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers earlier this morning and during the first part of your commute. It'll taper off to partly sunny skies and sun breaks later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 65 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures back down to about 50. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies with increasing clouds by Tuesday afternoon. High temperatures warmer around 72, 73. However, chance of showers moving in for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 56. Wednesday, the continued showers from Tuesday night will hang around for most of the morning, making way, though, to partly sunny skies yet again for Wednesday. Highs around 69.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, I think every once in a while what I like to think about is I like to think about the people that I meet. And I often don't think and say, oh, let me tell you about the people that I meet. What happens, though, I start to reflect. And I start to reflect on how grateful I am that they show up in my life. You know, how wonderful the teachings are that they have. I often think about not why we're in connection, if taking a journey together. I don't think about that. But I think about what is the pathway of this journey? You know, what is the honor and the respect and, you know, this particular expansive nature that we get to take on? And all of you as an audience, I've said this before, Sarah Main, she is joining me here today. Amazing to have her on the show. But we know how amazing of an audience you are. Today, I get to talk to you and talk to Sarah about a powerful, powerful message. And I was so reflecting upon it today as I was looking at her book and rereading her book, Conscious Confidence. And I was very aware today in particular with a very personal situation in my life of if people could work with Sarah, if people that are under stress, if they're under strain, if people in addiction and recovery could learn conscious confidence, if they had an opportunity to explore the value of the spiritual nature of what it's like to tap in to the mysticism in ancient Sanskrit, but more importantly, to tap into the language of the soul. And how do I know that? It's really fascinating. When you think about Sarah, who is the author of Conscious Confidence, she is also the founder, creator of Damayanti, but she also provides these amazing messages. Now, I happen to, this is probably too small for anybody to see, but I happen to wear one of her bracelets all the time. I just took it off to put it on the camera, and people always ask me what that is that I'm wearing. And one of the things I know, I tell them it is fuel for my soul. Today, we're talking about this mysterious and mystical power by somebody who is an expert, by somebody who is a teacher, by somebody whose life path has led her along this way to share a message for the world we want to create. I want to introduce all of you to my friend and colleague again, introduce you to Sarah Main. Sarah, it's great to have you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. It's so wonderful to be with you again. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, I have to tell you, the bracelet, right, I've already gone through the black ones. So I'm trying to get more of those. But I'm wearing the gold one now. And so I wear them when I play my sport.
Yes.
And people are like, what is that you have on? And then they read it and they say, pure love. Now, that's not all it says, but you've taught me a couple things. You taught me about resonance. You taught me about exactness of sound. You taught me about a language that has so much depth to it and the messaging in it and the values in it. And today we're talking about this mysticism around it. But mysticism just doesn't quite do it, does it?
No. It's mystical. I mean, it's this area of being mystical, mysticism, and the mind. It's an interesting phenomena, actually, because if you're watching yourself, you reach this point of, we call it the mystical or the mysticism. We give it a word because it's the nature of our instrument, our mind, we call it the mind, to label everything. We have to label everything in order to just sort of navigate. And we feel a bit weird and uncertain if we don't have a sort of a pretty clear label for everything that we're doing. Imagine walking along the road and you just have no connection or concept of anything you're meeting or doing as you're walking along the road. Just imagine you have no concept for that path that you're walking on. You have no concept of the trees you're seeing. You just, you know, you would say that you have some sort of neurological or psychological disorder, right? But this inner mysticism, it's the interesting, one of the things about it is it's behind or beyond our normal conceptual thinking.
Yeah.
So therefore it is, and the Sanskrit Vedic wisdom traditions, they describe this as indescribable, unpronounceable, indescribable, beyond words. There's all these not this, not that type of descriptions because there is no one way of describing it. But one thing about getting behind or beyond all those words and concepts is there's a space. And you notice that when you talk about this mysticism of Sanskrit, we're just in a space. And it's not a vacuum, it's not empty, it's full. But we then have to find or discover or uncover ways of describing it in our normal form of communication so that we can interact about it. Because it's natural to want to interact about it. But we have to find different ways of doing that, different language, you know, and we sort of struggle to try and find, we say, it's like it's this, or as it were, or kind of like this, because we can only ever use sort of references or analogies, because what we're describing, this space, this mysticism is beyond, and Sanskrit is very much from that space. And we connect with it in resonance often, just this sort of feeling and the sound about it. But there's so much more in the wisdom of it as well. It's the complete package.
Yeah, I love in the book that you wrote, right, Conscious Confidence. I love, and I'm so honored to take that journey with you. And I learned so much about it because there's so much in there. I mean, I think about what we're about to talk about today. We talk about the power of meaning and how it determines, in your words, it determines our reality, right? Yes. And then we have to really look at this language and really, as you would say, delve deeper into it, because as we delve deeper into it, right, we not only get meaning, but we get life messages, we get soul messages, we get pathway messages.
Yes.
And I've also learned the nuances between pronunciation and correct pronunciation. I'm not saying I have that down. I mean, honestly, when my partner asked me, my partner is from India, when she saw this and she asked me about it and I said, how did I pronounce it? I think I pronounced it Prema, and not Prema. Is Prema correct?
Prema. Yeah. Prema.
Right. Not Prema.
No.
No.
Not Prema. No,
and I said Prema.
E is an A. Is
right.
An A sound.
She said,
Prema.
"Wow, did you learn that?" I said, "I know that word."
Because I taught you.
Because you taught me. But you see, that's what we're talking about today. Because there's a different energy between Prema. And what I'm referring to is pure love, right? But that's the entire cycle of what we're talking about here today. Ancient is an understatement.
Hmm.
And you know, Sarah, there are some people that say that this language was given to us by that which we cannot see. Those are the words I heard somebody say to me.
Yeah.
That Sanskrit was given to us by that which we cannot see. So what they're saying is it was a language that came from here.
Yes.
Today, it's important for us to remember those messages because you are moving conscious confidence, you're moving, Dhammayanti, you're moving into expression of this, and yet you're still honoring the ancient wisdom. Let's talk about how powerful that is, if you could.
Yes, it's that interesting, often challenging bridge to walk across, path to walk across, where if you've studied some Sanskrit, and you know, look, I appreciate you and I'm full of gratitude for you calling me an expert, but it's not how I see myself.
Yeah, that's
naturally.
True.
When I was at university many decades ago, my Sanskrit teacher said, well, this is a 4-year, 3-year, 4-year course. He said, but let me get it clear to everyone from the beginning. This is the first lesson and first year. He said, a basic Sanskrit course is 10 years. I know I had been studying Sanskrit before, but yes, it's a lifelong study. But that said, you have this, it is mystical in that there is elements in that, and the resonance of it and the depth of the wisdom is beyond. And yet, I want to make this available and accessible so that people don't feel that, oh, well, look, you know, I can't read the script. I'm not going to study. I'm not interested, you know. And fair enough. There's a lot of things I'm not going to do because I'm just not drawn to that. But the wisdom is, we say it's ancient, but it's really timeless. It's
timeless.
It's universal. And, the very definition of universal is anytime, any place, you know, anywhere, all occasions. If something doesn't fit that criteria, then by definition it's not universal. And there isn't a moment where Sanskrit isn't relevant. It doesn't mean you're going around with Sanskrit words in your head all the time.
Right.
It's that connection. It's like you have that prema bracelet on.
Yeah.
And it's just that connection to the idea, the very resonance, the energy mm-hmm. of pure love. Because, you know what it's like. In an average day, there are times where we may feel something less than love for our fellow human beings, let's say, or something that's happening in our life. And just having that memory, that connection, opens the doorway so that we can stay connected. And and it's through that connection that we really are talking about the mm-hmm. essence where the root of conscious confidence comes from,
yeah.
which is from within. It's not, conscious confidence is not requiring circumstances to be a particular way. It's an inner confidence in yourself and in that deeper wisdom. And Sanskrit is just such a doorway to that. And a single word like prema, you don't have to know the definitions. You don't have to know the root form, the grammatical this, the rah, 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 rah. You don't need any of that. You just need the word. One word.
And one of the things I also want to comment on and really have you speak about is I'm referring, for those of you that are tuning in, there are a couple of things you should know. Conscious Confidence with Sarah Main. Conscious Confidence is a book, and you'll be able to find out about that book. You can certainly go to Amazon and get it, take a look at it. But what you're going to find when you take a look at that book is a couple of different things. And what I mean by a couple of different things is the book talks about and takes us on a journey just like we're doing today. But the concepts and the teachings in that book are amazing. And I was talking, Sarah, with you before the show to say, I wish, or maybe in the introduction, I said, I wish I could take these teachings and apply this or bring this to a group of these women that I work with. I really do believe that with that, there could be hope, change, transformation, and shift.
Yes.
And for those of you out there, you can go get the book. You can get the audio from it. But more importantly, we can also tap in to this idea of soul. And I want to just comment about that because you are somebody born and raised and educated in Sydney, Australia. And here you are at the age of 10. And you begin your spiritual journey. That's such a beautiful story and a beautiful thing for us to talk about because it really points to how a pathway is put in front of us as this one and what that pathway does to take us along this road, these wisdom teachings. And here you are today. I'm just going to talk about conscious confidence, but I'm going to talk about Damayanti and what that means. Mm-hmm. But this is quite a journey for you.
Yes.
And I have to ask you, this is something you did, but these experiences can lead many people to that level of profound truth, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. We are, as the saying goes, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And, that realization can grow if you connect with your soul path, have that moment of awareness, and it's like a spark. And there's a chapter in my book about this journey, and there are steps to it, and gateways or stages, however you want to describe it. But that first spark, that's mystical, because it seems to come unbidden, out of nowhere. It could be something you've read, you've heard, something that you've just said, Dr. Pat, and you go, oh, I call it inspiration. In Sanskrit, it's Shubhechcha, which means a pure impulse. Boom. And it's like it's like striking a match, and then the fire's lit. It might be a small fire, but it's lit. And then from that, you start asking questions. All of a sudden, you're aware of something greater, and there's an energy to pursue that. And, you've still got daily responsibilities and doing what you do, and yet there's another dimension.
Yeah.
That can be a little bit discombobulating, to be honest with you, because you're now relating to things slightly differently. Your image, your self-image can change because you suddenly think, oh, there's something more. I've got questions. Oh.
Wow.
And it can be some sort of trauma. It can be some difficult situation can thing, or it can just be literally out of the blue. It varies. But my experience and observation is that it's something that people can't sort of turn away from. Particularly, I know I had a chap on my show recently, and he was had recovered from addiction, and he's got questions because he said he found in the end he recovered, like he was in a recovery program, but he found that a spiritual solution ultimately was the one that really changed his and really brought about his fundamental recovery. And he said, and of course he's got questions, but you start talking to people that you've related to before, friends and family, and they think you're a bit nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Or you've gone the soft option, or you're off with the fairies, or with the pixies, or anti-science, or whatever it is. And you have to get comfortable with that, because you can feel a bit, you're not quite sure where you're going within yourself. As you get comfortable with this, and you get more connected with yourself. So you can't deny the truth of this, what has awakened this path, this soul path.
Yeah.
You want to follow it, and yet you still want to talk to your friends, and they don't get it. So who do you talk to? So it's a whole different world, and it is mystical. It's very beautiful. But this is this growth and evolution. And yeah, it takes courage, and you need to, it's the way to go. You want to pursue it. And then you discover there is a whole dimension to life where we can realize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, at 10 years old, to be honest with you, it felt a little bit like I was picking up from where I left off last time. It was a natural, I just felt drawn that way.
Yeah. And, I want to thank you for really sharing that story, because I shared with you that I was late for this show, which is very rare for me. And there would only be one thing that would allow that to happen in my life. And that would be an emergency about a life of somebody that is struggling with addiction. Right. And yet, I know the limit in the nature by which I can help. And you said it before. Look, when ideas about recovery were created back, whether you call it Bill Wilson, whoever, Carl Jung was instrumental in directing that. And he was very clear. Nothing is going to happen without a spiritual experience. Nothing was going to happen. He was very clear about that. And the entire basis foundation was built upon that. Yet, in today's world, it's one of the most forgotten aspects of recovery. And I would not be here. And I have to tell you, I was gripping on to this bracelet for life 15 minutes before ice cube. I mean, gripping it, fondling it, touching it, and unconsciously, right? Maybe this was unconscious confidence. But I think that's what it was, because, I mean, I actually put a dent in my wrist. And then I realized when I showed up to do this, oh, pure love.
Yeah.
That's what I needed to hold on to, pure love. I wanted to ask you, this has been such an evolutionary journey for you. And now I've mentioned Conscious Confidence. People can go, if you want to get the book, go to Conscious Confidence. It's also an audio book. I think there's only 3 copies left on Amazon if you go over there. But if you go there, you'll see the book. You talk about everything from what I've learned about the fourfold, when you talk about the fourfold energy. And we've done many shows on that.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like I have to leapfrog a moment to Damayanti. I'm probably not saying that right, but I think I'm pretty dang close.
Pretty good.
pretty good. I've been practicing.
I'm sorry to use tricky words.
It's good. When you first said that to me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, one more word I have to learn. That's really what I did think. But then I started to say it, Damayanti, Damayanti. And I became a little addicted to it. What does that word mean? Now, I know you're going to give me like about 10 minutes explaining the in-depth meaning to it, because part of this situation is it's hard when you see something and then because the translate, tell me if I'm right, sometimes these translations are multidimensional.
Mm.
Okay. Is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah. Sanskrit words are absolutely multidimensional. That's an understatement, really. But, you know, and that's what's so amazing about it. What I love so much. But the word Damayanti, well, firstly, it's a very popular, well-known female name, a girl's name. You know, there are girls, women called Damayanti in India, right? It's a popular Indian name. So it's a name, but the core of it comes from a dhamma and the root dham. In English, you'd write it D-A-M, dham. And I've done shows on this because people ask, why Damayanti? And it actually comes from this element of restraint, inner restraint. And that's, restraint is not necessarily a hooray word these days. We want to feel free, and I do too. Freedom is a core value of mine. This is the inner restraint of that which would limit us, the things that are limiting in us, negativity, low self-esteem, poor self-talk, all of those things. And it's restraint doesn't mean clamping it down. It means letting it go, not letting it rule us, so that we are free to give expression to our potential and our limitlessness, which is part of our true nature. And it also, the restraint comes from being peaceful and calm. It doesn't mean holding it down tight and I'm clenching my fists and pushing things down, if you're listening to this and you can't see me. it comes from restraint and peace and calm. And you know, when you're peaceful and calm, you're not bothered so much. You have the ability to choose, and you have the space and time to choose, and you can discern what is true and from false and what is limited from limitless. And we tend not to engage in so much negative self-talk, which can put us in a box and is unhelpful to us. So Damayanti, I was drawn to Damayanti because of this element of peace and calm and then the inner restraint and that comes from that. And that's very much in line from the sort of earlier iteration of Conscious Confidence, which was about this connection within yourself, giving you that confidence and strength. to move in any situation and in any direction. And so is that a simple direction? Have I said
yeah.
too much?
No. And because, you know, what I loved about it is, you know, I when you first mentioned it, of course, I go to Google. Not sure if what I'm getting on Google is correct, but I came across a beautiful story. Yeah. You know, that I read about this princess and right. And, you know, even though that may not be what we're talking about, there's so much in Sanskrit that are story-like. I don't know if that's correct language. There's so much in words that are more than the words of the English translation. And,
yeah.
you know, you are now taking this to another level. I mean, you've actually created a website, and this is the home now, right?
Yeah.
Damayanti.store. Is that correct?
Yes, Damayanti.store.
Damayanti.store. And that's, you know, you can go there because when people will go there, what they're going to find is the energy of what you and I are talking about. They're going to see it. They're going to feel it.
Yeah.
But there's also underneath the conversation is your unique vision for creating this energy, which may be ancient, but it's new.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, how many times have I, every call I have with you in preparation, I always have to bring up some tattoo that I saw that is totally awful, right? And it's not about that. What it's about are people trying to recreate the symbolic, energetic blueprint of this. Right? You know, it's like old school printing. I had a friend that did old school printing and old school font design. And I remember sitting next to her and watching her do this. And there were such nuances. And she could tell if in her print operation, if accidentally one of the fonts got ticked.
Yes.
And it changed the meaning for her. But people are hungry. And I want to ask you, do you know what this hunger is about now in this modern world? How would you, Sarah Main, in the spirit of Damayanti, how could we describe this today?
That is a great question, Dr. Pat. You ask great questions. That is right up there. Thank you. I think this is definitely an evolving thing for me to understand that. And where I'm at is I think I'm being led, like my previous guest, the chap that was recovering, has recovered and found that a spiritual solution has been one of the key things to proceed and progress forward, and he really has, it's remarkable, is the sort of questions he's asking, what is spiritual? What's the difference between spiritual and ordinary? Awareness, you know, if I'm aware, how can I measure when I'm not aware? You know, those sorts of questions, really getting to understand that, and how can I stay in memory? So often one of the things that I'm, if you go to my website, there's a blog there, and there are decent sized pieces, blog pieces there, explaining some of these things about the power of memories coming up soon, that's going up soon. But the whole thing about the story of Damayanti, you read about the princess, there's actually a recent blog post explaining that it's a very long story in the Mahabharata, and I've just taken one section and talked about that in this blog piece. And the three lessons that come from that, you know, there's so much to understand just in what is a beautiful story of Damayanti and even just sections of it, but there's so much to understand and the lessons in it. And one of the things I would say is, and certainly I endeavour to do this in my book, is to present stories to illustrate. These stories are not just children's fables. These are, a story bypasses a lot of our logical thinking, which can be such a barrier and get in the way. And block, frankly. the story goes past and into the heart and can resonate more deeply than just an explanation. And my spiritual teacher said, you read stories to children, these traditional stories to children that have a message. He said, you can tell them the message, but he said, they forget the message and all they remember is the story. And that's all they need. Because as an adult, if you hear that story, you get the message and you just remember that story and it resonates with you like that bracelet. All you need is just one word and you know it means love and it keeps you connected.
Yeah.
It keeps that pathway open and the stories do the same. So that is, it's a sort of a long-winded answer. But
That's a great answer.
You know, it's an evolving thing for me and I appreciate any questions people have because it shows me a way.
Yeah, I love it so much. And we're going to take a short break and I'll tell you why I love it so much. And I love the blog post you posted. I think it was as of today, where you're talking about mindfulness and meditation. There was a blog post on that. And what I found myself, you know, I went back and I read it again. And I found myself at this place of learning that I learned from you several years ago. And because I learned it and started to practice it, albeit again, not always the proper pronunciation, but I will share this when we come back. I learned the power of it. And what I'm talking about is mantra. Mantra. And I honor that person that is speaking with you, that person in recovery that is speaking with you, because those of us that have gone through that, if we can't find spiritual experience and if we can't find that peace, that's the difference between getting recovered and staying in recovery.
Yes.
It's that gap. And it doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all. But yet, we need to do more. When we come back, we're going to talk with Sarah, not just about this, but we're going to talk about how now the symbolism of Damayanti, how now this for your soul, right, how we can embed this and be reminded. And by the way, I just showed you this bracelet, which I wear because it's a reminder. But what did I learn from this bracelet that I go to in my own unconscious confidence way that happens automatically in the spirit of mindfulness? When we come back, that and more. Sarah, for a minute, how do people find out more about you? And then when we come back, we're going to talk about what you've created to keep this flow and symbolism and spiritual practices going. How do they find out more about you?
You can go to my website, damayanti.store,
Damayanti.
It ends with an I. Damayanti.store.
Yes, I know it because I had to learn to pronounce it and really to take it in. When we come back, what is it about that word and the word on my bracelet, just keep repeating over and over and over again when I am stressed? Why? Why do I pick that? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important.
Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. So thrilled to have my friend and colleague, Sarah Main, joining me here today. You have heard me talk with her for several years about conscious confidence. Now we are introducing you to another energy. And, you know, I think that other energy is a continuation of all of the messaging, everything she's done, everything in the way of teachings, conscious confidence, whatever you glean from that. And, of course, now here we are today. Damayanti, if you want to find out exactly what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about this for a minute, damayanti.store, that's how you get there. There's a blog there, there's social media there, you can get in touch with her, you can email Sarah, you can get a copy of her book, but more importantly, you get to tune into the energy and vibration of what we're talking about. Sarah, thank you again for joining me here today. I've often said this. People look at me sometimes and they think, gee, Pat, you know, this is, you just do such a great, I say, I am a student. I love talking with people, especially about things I don't know, but there's never been a time where I've had a conversation about something I didn't need to learn. Can't think of one. And I've had some really odd interviews. But this journey with you has been interesting because what I found over these past 30 months is how often I've called on your teaching in Sanskrit. And I may have held up a bracelet, but it's not just a bracelet, right? It's what I've learned about it. And what I've learned about the mantra around that word, what I've learned about other mantras you shared on the show. And I want to jump to talking about mantra, because you're also going to recite in a few minutes. Oh, am I going to get this right? The Gayatri Mantra. Did I say that right? Did I? Yeah. Okay. It is my favorite all time.
Yeah.
I listen to it. I take these. I have Jacob pull them out over and over and over again. People come into my house. And they hear things like that praying. Mm-hmm. And they just look at me oddly. Like, did you mean, yes, that is purposeful. So I want to talk with you about the power of mantra, but I also want to talk about what you're doing at damayanti.store to really keep reminding us. Tell us what you created over there.
Damayanti.store, that it's Damayanti for your soul is the core thing. And so what I wanted to provide was a place where when you're on your soul path and connected,
a place where you can go where there's information, there's connection, there's food for your soul, there's a place to rest for your soul. And so hence the blog, because there's the blogs are substantial pieces, and they give you something to think about. There's stories in the blogs. They're like mini versions of my book in a way. They unpack a bit more. There's, you know, yes, all the social media. There's the link to all my shows there, so you can pick up the shows there. So that I do is on your network. And we have, I've now developed this range of products, and they're in collections, so they're under themes. So you've got a bracelet from the Prema collection, which, and there's a variety of necklaces and bracelets and some keychains and things, and a few drink tumblers and whatnot in the different collections. And there's, as so far, there's 8 collections, and they're themed under Prema for Love. I'll try and remember them. Prema for Love. Kshama for patience, Shakti for divine energy, there's Balam for strength, Abhyasa for resilience, Abhayam for fearlessness, Prana for the breath of life. There must be something else and I've forgotten it. And Satya for truth and honesty and goodness. There are other collections in the pipeline, but those 8 so far have been ones that have been either important to me or what I see as important for people in general that I pick up on, that themes that I hear in on social media and around the place where people are struggling with certain things, and it comes to me that is an important element. And the way I was taught was go back to the Sanskrit, just get the Sanskrit words, find out what it means, because as you said before the break, Sanskrit is multidimensional. And so go back to some of the deeper wisdom. Just get an understanding rather than thinking, oh, yeah, patience, I know what that means, you know, and you don't even stop to think. Get past some of your filters, because we have filters about everything. When we're all the information coming in through our senses and every moment of the day is filtered. And you know that from your psychology background.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, so, and that was one of the main reasons my spiritual teacher said to learn Sanskrit, because it starts to purify some of those filters, and it purifies them by showing them up in the light of the universal pure wisdom in Sanskrit. It shows up where you think, oh, well, I normally think this, and Sanskrit's indicating that. And it just shows it up in the light of that. And then you can let that limitation go. So it purifies that way, apart from just the resonance and the vibration and the beauty. And you don't have to be a Sanskrit scholar. And that was one of the things I was keen on with Damayanti, is you don't have to, wonderful if you want to, but you don't have to be spending years studying Sanskrit. It's a way of having an immediate connection with that universal wisdom, that resonance, that energy. And as you say, you've got that bracelet. And, you know, back in the day, I was writing things on post-it notes and sticking them up to remind myself. And when I was teaching, I was writing it on the blackboard to remind myself, you know, just up in the corner. And the children would learn it too, so that was great. But, you know, to have a beautiful necklace, I would have loved something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I've discovered is people don't need the English written on the bracelet.
Right.
Or on the thing. They just, that the beauty of the shape, they might know the sound, and they know it means love or resilience or patience or whatever. And that's important to them, and that's a mystical message for them, you know. And if someone asks, great, they can explain. So it can be a conversation starter. But that was kind of where I was going with the products.
But I love it.
Carry with you, you know, be with you.
And I love it, because you and I were talking about whether or not to put the English on it, and I was looking at there was a few of these that I'm getting ready to buy, and I've now for the first time I saw this without the English, and it was it's the image language, the written language, and the way it looks is powerful, right? So when I look at it, I see it powerfully. And then when you find out about it, and I'm trying to remember if this was a growth through resilience or fearlessness, but it's so powerful in itself that you can feel that, right?
Yeah.
And that is so beautiful that you're making this available to people that really want to embody that level of consciousness.
Yeah, it's definitely an energy thing. And going back to that mysticism, it is mystical because you can't, it's hard to explain. And that's often why you struggle with these sort of garbled explanations. And if your friends and family look at you like you're a bit nuts.
They do. They do.
But it's real. That energy is real. And it is a way of staying connected. And connectedness is so important. Otherwise, we just get disconnected. And all sorts of problems arise. Like, we've been talking about addiction and all those things. When we are disconnected with the fundamental truth of ourselves and this fundamental universal energy, which sounds sort of incredibly woo-woo, but it isn't. It's utterly practical and present.
Yeah.
And those that have recovered from and continue to have stayed recovered, you know, they say it is a connectedness. And this gentleman I was talking to, a guest I had on my show, he said the only way he can define spirituality and spiritual at the moment is connectedness, because that's what he experiences as connectedness. He says, I don't have another word for it at the moment.
And he's right. He's right, because I have not studied. So what would be the logic, if I had to go to logic, and some people are wondering about logic right now, there'd be some people maybe listening, why would I grab on to this? Why would I hold on to this? Why would I even have this on a day that very unexpectedly I didn't know that in the middle of the day I might have to intervene to save someone's life? I didn't know that today. But what was it about this? Why would I grab onto it? And there are so many others. I was looking at what you have on Damayanti.store, and I was just, I mean, the English language is something like breath of life, or, right, this is the English language. But that is not the vibration of it. And so I have a request for you.
Yes.
Just like me to give you more work. I think it would be so cool on your website to have an audio of the word in your voice.
Okay, yeah.
To say it. Because the power of the imagery of it, and I know what I'm drawn to and I don't even know what it means, but can you imagine now if people could learn what I've learned about pure love, about Prema, if they could learn that like I learned from you, and can hear the language and become to step into the mantra. See, this is what happens sometimes when we learn something that is new to us, but ancient and timeless.
Yeah.
That's how that bridge of time gets connected, Sarah. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is no bridge. You just connect.
You just connect. Yeah, but that connection, and it's probably more accurate to say it's a reconnection, because it's always there, but we reconnect, and it seems new. And that's why we describe these, the jewelry and things particularly, as wearable mantras in sacred Sanskrit. And it's, I think, and particularly in this day and age where we have all these technology that connects us in one way, and yet we can be supremely disconnected, even more so. We can be utterly distracted. Hence, one of the chapters, the core chapters in my book, is on focusing. Because focusing connects you, you know, and it's a fundamental thing, and there are stories, and it's enjoyable. I don't want to make it sound like I'm an old school teacher.
No, it's a great book.
It's everything from my point of view has got to be practical. That's why in my book there are stories, there's exercises, there's modern contemporary accounts of people I actually know, either I worked with or know. They're all, you know, to bring everything into something that's accessible, about something that's unbelievably mystical, completely ancient and timeless. It's really timeless rather than ancient, but hey, whatever, let's use those words.
It is timeless.
Make it relevant. And so you're in a situation, and this is a life and death situation, and you've got that there. You're not just left with nothing. You have that. And you're tapping in and connecting, no matter how difficult it is, the situation that you're navigating through, you have that connection to something that is utterly timeless.
Yeah.
Actually, you're ancient, timeless. And it's said that the universal source, spirit, God, the gods, however you want to say it, consciousness, Sanskrit is the language of the universe, and it is a thread that runs through all time that you can tap into. And it's that thread of consciousness, that thread of spirit that the soul can connect to. That is the connectedness. And it's a single thread, and it's like you tap back into that, and then you're not alone, and you know instinctively without thinking that there is something greater than just you at that moment. And you're drawing on that consciously. And I have, in situations that have been, you know, difficult, either personally or I've been involved in situations, really challenging situations where I've had to play a role or whatever, even if it's just a very supportive role, I find I've got a Sanskrit mantra or something, and it's just there, and it comes to mind strongly, and I feel like I'm not walking this alone.
Mm.
It keeps me connected, and people will say to me later, how did you stay so calm? How did you stay strong? You don't seem to be so affected, or something like that. And I know it doesn't mean I'm not feeling things, but all I can do is just be utterly grateful and say, look, you know, what can I say? I've got that connectedness.
Mm.
And the Sanskrit is just a gift because language is so powerful. We literally speak ourselves into existence.
Yeah.
People need to understand that. That's the power of language.
You've
got to make sure the language and the sound is good.
I wonder if you could kind of lead us out of today's show. I want to thank you so much. For those of you out there, go to damayanti.store, damayanti.store. But if you would lead us out with a mantra, I would so love that.
Yes, I would love to do that. And it's the Gayatri Mantra, which is one of the, I don't know, most ancient, traditional, supreme, profound mantras, almost untranslatable. So there's many different ways of saying it in English, but here's the English. Body of all, mind of all, spirit of all, may we meditate on the radiance of the inner light. May that self illuminate our thoughts. Peace, peace, peace. Om Bhuvasuaha Tatsavitur-varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Yo-yo Nah Prachodayat Shanti Shanti.
Sarah, thank you so much for everything. I can't wait to see what's next. Sarah Main, everyone, please, Conscious Confidence is her book. And Jacob will pull out that mantra and we'll make sure we play it at the beginning. But it is one of the most powerful mantras, at least that I've listened to, and it's my go-to. Sarah, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you all for tuning us in. Please go to damayanti.store. And everything we've talked about and then some is there. Hopefully Sarah will add in her voice how to pronounce this properly. Thank you, Sarah. Love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you so much. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.